Hi, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 72, and today's date is August 30th, 2017. My name is Carrie, and I will be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by that duo that has defined bromance, and they did it way before Seth and Dean did, Russ and Kent. How you doing, guys?
I am doing wonderful. I like the introduction.
Well, thank you. Kent?
Russ, are you growing facial hair?
No, I'm just really lazy. I haven't shaved since Saturday.
So you're not trying to be Braun Strowman?
No, I'm not. I'm not finished with shaving yet.
Me neither.
Shaving your shoulders?
Oh, every day.
All right. So for our first time listeners, we recap and discuss the week in pro wrestling. And, well, we also have a few fun segments for you. Well, since we were protesting the events of last weekend, we have a lot of ground to cover tonight, guys. Well, kind of. I mean, we got 2 weeks worth of wrestling to discuss. Or not.
Or is it just, so it only should take like 5 minutes because
it's been pretty mediocre. So for our listeners, we're going to summarize our thoughts about SummerSlam and, as I said, the past 2 weeks. But first, before we do any of that, I'm sure, Kent, you have a moment of bliss for us. So what is this week's moment of bliss, Kent?
Well, I had pizza from a place I haven't had pizza in about a year, maybe even 2 years. So it's been a while. It's okay. I mean, I understand why I haven't had it in that long, but, you know, it's okay. It's Romano's. Russ, I'm sure you've had it. Aside from that, my moment of bliss was watching a human forehead unsuccessfully defend her belt and see my girl back on top. But even more importantly, Emma is now going to get credit for starting the women's revolution. And that was really my moment of bliss this week.
All right.
That was blissful.
Agreed. So, guys, I guess let's kick this thing off. As I said, again, we got a lot of ground to cover. Well, kind of. All right, let's talk SummerSlam. Just quick overall thoughts. Kent, I know you did your usual podcast with Steve, and that's available right now on our website, 9deuce.com, and also on iTunes if you subscribe to Are You Not Kentertained. So, Russ, what were your overall thoughts of SummerSlam?
Well, first of all, I am really glad that we protested last week. I think it stands united because SummerSlam was pretty darn awful. I don't even want to get into it. There were some good matches, but like that first hour of the actual pay-per-view was pure, unadulterated garbage. Everything was a turd. Cena burying Corbin for no reason. I can't even think of some of the other matches, but they were just really bad. The Rusev and Randy match, that was awful. I know some people liked that because it was. I thought that was terrible. It's been a while now, but yeah, the only thing that was remotely good were the tag teams and the last match. I thought the last match was really good. I just wish it was with a better pay-per-view. Like, I quit. I stopped watching it on Sunday. I got to, like, I don't know, maybe 12:30 because I was watching Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones first all the way. But I did catch a few episodes, matches before it. I stopped at about 12:30, and I just was like, nope, I'm done. I can't watch anymore. This is pure garbage. And then I decided to watch at least the final match. So it was terrible. Worst SummerSlam I think I've seen ever.
I'd have to agree with you there.
I think for me, I know Kent just kind of went like, no, but...
Russ, do you not remember last year? Because you were here.
I know, but...
I'm pretty sure last year you proclaimed it was the worst SummerSlam you've ever seen.
But at least last year I was with you so we could make fun of it. This year I just watched a turd. Bake in the sun. That's basically what I did.
Yeah.
By myself.
You were invited over here.
I know, but Game of Thrones and everything, Heather would have killed me.
Fuck bitches. But I do want to just give props to Natalya for having one of the three best matches of her life at SummerSlam. That's no small feat for a woman that's been wrestling for however many years and been, you know, stinking up the joint for however many years. So kudos for her for having a good, acceptable match. That's all I have.
And anything else, I can just listen to your discussion with Steve, right?
Pretty much. We were pretty thorough in our assault.
Yeah. Definitely helped kill a 2-3 hour car ride trying to get out of New York on Sunday for me and Eric. And they were good.
Yeah,
they were
we
good
served
thoughts.
Our purpose.
What did you think of the pay-per-view there, Carrie?
I'm kind of in agreement with you guys. I thought it was downright awful. I mean, I think I fell asleep during the Raw tag team match, woke up to see the Seth and Dean one, and then said, okay, let's turn it off. Let's go to bed. It's time. So I think I missed the best match of the night, and that was the final match, and I probably wouldn't have still been asleep anyways, even if I tried to stay up. So, oh well.
Yeah, there were
I didn't miss
there were
much.
Only a handful of good matches.
I
think of 13 matches, there was, what, three? Maybe four that were...
I would have said four.
Two tag teams?
Yep. Two tag teams, the main event. And okay, I'm not... I would even go as far as saying five was okay, because I was in a bad mood.
Well, you're a liar.
I was in a bad mood when Gender versus Shinsuke was on, so I kind of agreed with you on it, but I watched it again. It wasn't awful. It wasn't earth-shatteringly great, but it wasn't awful.
Russ, there's no need to lie to the audience.
I'm not. I'm just telling you what I thought after I had already written the review and everything, so.
All right.
No, that match sucked.
All right, guys. So, there you go, listeners. Those are our thoughts on SummerSlam. If you haven't watched it yet, or if you feel like watching it again on the network, please don't. Take it from
us.
Yeah, don't. All right,
good.
Let's talk what's been going on Raw the past couple weeks. Lots to talk about. Let's kick it off with a topic I'm sure Russ is happy to discuss. The fact that Dean and Seth are tag team champions. That's got to be great for you, isn't it, Russ?
It does feel good to have Seth, going in a direction that actually is positive instead of just nowheres for a year and a half. So, yes, it does feel good in that sense. They were one of the only few good matches at SummerSlam. So, another positive there. Unfortunately, yeah, I like that they have the championships. But, honestly, I thought Cesaro should have kept the championships for at least another month or two. Minimally. So, while it's nice my boy's got something going on for him, I didn't really want it to happen yet. So... give them a couple weeks, but the matches they've been putting on, they've been fantastic. I'm not gonna complain.
How about you, Kent? What are your thoughts on, well, the Raw Tag Team Division, which seems to be only two teams right now?
The fabulous fisting duo, Fistius, Too Fast, Too Bicurious. What a great team we have here. God, it's so nice just watching two guys fist each other time again. Who needs Pornhub when you have this on Monday Night Raw, really?
There's a lot of fisting going on lately.
Oh, God, the fisting. Oh, it's just delightful. I hope for, like, WrestleMania they come down, like, and Seth has his arms wrapped around Dean as they come out on a motorcycle. Oh, that would just be amazing. Yeah... I still don't care about them. We have Gallus and Anderson. They make themselves known every week. So that's a third team. Cesaro's been on fire, and it seems like every time Cesaro gets on fire, they lose the belts.
Yep. And it ruins all momentum.
Yeah, like they were just getting on a roll when they lost it to Gallus and Anderson, I believe.
Yeah. The first time.
Like, yeah, and now I don't know. Dean and Seth don't need no belts. But they have no idea what to do with them, so tag team it is. Meanwhile, in the tag team division, Jeff Hardy is now getting an Intercontinental Championship match. So, good tag team division.
Yeah, it was good. Why? It's funny you brought that up, Ken. I was just about to ask you guys about that. What are your thoughts on that? So, I mean, it makes no sense to me, but maybe you can help enlighten me as to why it should make sense.
Well, it's a fresh matchup.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, we are desperately in need of fresh matchups that Miz can work with. They have given Miz nothing to work with since he's joined Raw. That's been the biggest problem. They took one of their hugest assets. I mean, really, Miz was one of the three people that was holding shit down on SmackDown. They took him away. They're like, all right, we're going to use this guy to boost up Raw. No, we're going to use this guy to talk to an injured Finn Balor. We're going to use this guy to carry terrible promos with Jason Jordan, and nothing has worked. And so now, Jeff, although he's getting out of shape, aging, whatever, Jeff will give him a good match. It'll give him a really good performance. I hope that main event's Raw this coming week. And I'm not a huge fan of Jeff, but he will be able to put on a good match with The Miz. A safe match, I hope.
What about you, Russ?
I was going to say, it makes sense in the fact that it's on Raw for next week, so it's obviously a holding pattern just to kind of have Miz do something, which is why Jason Jordan didn't win it. But he did put in a good showing. If this was for No Mercy number one contendership, then I would have thought Jason Jordan would have won it. But, again, I think I echo Kent's sentiment on this. I think it's going to be a good match because Jeff Hardy can definitely put on provide a good show. He's definitely proven himself, and so is Miz, obviously. And I'm just hoping that they make it worthy. So main event, yes, put it as the main event. No commercials between the match, let it go.
You can put a commercial, but make it main. When was the last time the IC belt was defended in the main event? Was it Dean, Seth, and Miz? Was that the
last?
Yeah,
that was, I think so.
That was a couple months ago?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the IC belt needs some shine.
Does.
Agreed. Do you think that this means anything for Matt and Jeff? Do you think they'll still be together after this? Are they trying to break them up? Or what do you guys think? Kent, you first.
If you're in a tag team right now, you're in danger of getting split up. That's been WWE's mentality this past year for whatever reason. And then they're like, oh, we don't have a tag team anymore. We got to put two guys together and call them something. And then we get the incredibly dynamic fisting duo. So kudos to them. I mean, it seems like Heath Slater and Rhino may be broken up because we don't ever see them together. Endzone Cass, American Alpha. I mean, there's a really long list of teams that have gotten broken up. So, at some point, Matt has to... First, they have to win the copyright. As soon as that copyright happens, shit's going to go down. But until that copyright thing's been reported, they're not going to get the split.
Russ, how about you?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get split up. Jeff and Matt are also really good individual wrestlers. So they can go away from each other at a bit of a foray and still come back to gel as a team because they're both really good individual wrestlers. So I don't think this is a death knell for them at all. I think Kent's right. If they ever get the broken... Because, God, WWE.com loves to say broken with Matt Hardy, doesn't it? Oh,
they're almost a broken record about it.
Yes. Snap. There we go. But yeah, holy crow. So they're waiting for that to happen.
Laugh, Carrie. It was funny.
Ha. Ha.
It was funnier than that. Come on.
It's almost as bad as hearing them say historic over and over and over again.
That'd be the first time ever I've heard that.
I've never heard that. It must be the first time ever that they've ever said that. It must be historical that they use that word.
You would think. I forgot what I was watching the other night, but I heard it, the word historic, 3 times in the time span of 2 minutes. 3 times. I wanted to throw something.
You sure it wasn't wrestling?
Oh, no. I think it was it NXT? It might have been NXT.
It probably was.
If we ever did a word association game with WWE, one of the words would be historic.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of things that are not historic, let's talk in tag teams that are broken up. So, a couple things with Enzo and Big Cass. Big Cass is injured. Enzo moved to 205 Live. Again, lots of confusing stuff going on. Help me sort it out, guys. Russ, your thoughts.
Well, there's a lot of injuries. Injury bug hit hard this last couple of weeks. Cass got injured. He's out for a long time, it sounds like. And I kind of feel bad for him because I thought he was getting his groove a little bit at SummerSlam. And the episode before, or the match, or not the episode, the promo before, the week before, right? So I thought he was starting to get his groove a little bit. I was like, okay, let's see what happens. And then, boom, gets injured. Oh, God, terrible for him. Samoa Joe, I'm not sure, elbow?
It sounds minor.
Whatever it is, it's minor. He'll be back in a couple of days, a couple of weeks, maybe. Not a big deal for him. Still, the other one is...
tag team. Big Brad Maddox. Paige!
I believe it's Xavier Woods Kent was going for there. I'm surprised I didn't hear any neighing as a dying neigh as that was going on. Yes, Xavier Woods is injured. This one, that also sounds significant too from what I hear. Right? Have you heard that, Kent? Pretty significant?
Yeah, it sounds like it's not as bad as Big Cass's, but he could be out multiple months.
Right. Fortunately for him, he doesn't have to defend the title. Not that they have it, but...
Well, now here was the question. I know we're jumping really far ahead of time here, but... because I'll forget it. Because they had the New Day versus Usos match. Winner got to pick the stipulation.
Yep.
Usos won it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So couldn't the Usos just be like, yeah, it's gotta be Xavier and then Kofi or whatever? Like, wouldn't that make for the better storyline right now is to say, hey, Xavier's got a fight?
That would be interesting, but unfortunately, it's also called a dick move, and it would ruin WWE's product, I think, to them. So that
it'd be historic, Ross.
It would be.
And they are down for history.
And first time ever. Can't forget it's going to be...
Why isn't the WWE on the History Channel?
Oh, my God. That's a perfect fit for them. When their when their contract runs out with USA, I think they need to move to the History Channel.
It'd be no faker than anything else that they put on there.
True.
Too true. But the other injury bug has not spared NXT either. So Asuka apparently is out for 6 to 8 weeks with a broken collarbone. That happened too.
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks. But I'm going to tell you right now, other than it sucks because she hurt herself, got hurt, this is the best thing that could happen to her. Losing the belt to injury instead of losing the belt to a person. I think that's a... It's going... If they play it right, it could be monumental for her.
Well, I mean, she's undefeated. She surrendered the belt undefeated. Oops. Spoiler for anyone who doesn't know what's going to happen on next Wednesday's NXT, apparently. Spoiler alert.
I gotta disagree. Call me old school traditional, but how many women have dropped their entire development in the push of fucking Asuka, and now she doesn't even get to give the rub down in NXT where nobody's watching? I mean, because in case you weren't watching SmackDown and hearing the chorus of cheers that weren't existing for Bobby Roode this week, it shows that NXT does not translate to main roster. So Asuka should have dropped it, but now due to injury, it's not going to happen. But it's kind of bullshit that I think when she comes back, I don't think she should go to the main roster. I think she should be in a match for the belt. Hold off on crowning a new champ. Have Asuka get a chance to win it back and put somebody over, at the very fucking least, and then she can move up. She needs to give the rub.
Well, I was going to say, that's the one big loss is the rub. But
I mean, look at all the girls that have not been able... Bliss didn't get to develop worth a shit. Carmella didn't get to develop. Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Ember Moon, none of them got a chance to run with the fucking belt because they had to put over this fucking Asuka, who is great, but come the fuck on here. It's not like there's multiple belts so somebody else could have had a chance. No, that was the only one.
Fair enough. So, getting back to Raw and 205, Enzo, 205, Kent.
Jericho approves of it, therefore I approve of it. I mean, Enzo, if anything else, will bring more attention to that division. A division that was dying a slow, painful, painful death. Is this going to save the division? No, it's not. I mean, losing Aries really was the death blow, but Enzo can be featured every week still on Raw. Now he doesn't have to be in matches with guys, you know, three times his size. He's not a good wrestler, but his promos can help that division significantly. That's what's important. You don't have a lot of good promo guys in 205. That's where he can come in handy. And if he bombs out there, make him a manager.
What are your thoughts, Ross?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a good move for Enzo, because here's my problem with it. Here's my only problem with it, really. It makes 205 look terrible, doesn't it? I thought about this. Enzo on Raw, main roster, gets his butt kicked every week, in and out, in and out. He's always getting his butt kicked. Then he moves to 205, and now he's a number one contender for the belt. That doesn't make them look good if he's the whipping boy of the WWE main roster, but he's a golden boy in the 205. Doesn't that kind of seem like, oh, well, 205 is way inferior?
Well, no. If you look at it from a real fighting standpoint, anybody who follows boxing or MMA would assure you that just dropping, going up a weight division or dropping down a weight division, and we're only talking 10 pounds here, we're not talking anything significant, can be a huge, huge game changer. So WWE needs to highlight that aspect of the weight change. If they don't really include that and make it seem legit, that's where they can lose it. But that's all they got to do. They just got to treat it like it's a real thing, and that would make sense for Enzo to be dominant.
Okay,
he's been facing 300 pounders. Now he's going to be facing people 100 pounds less. Russ, who would you rather face, a guy who's 200 pounds or 300 pounds?
Well, probably 200 pounds.
Are you going to be a little bit more dominant against Mr. 200-pounder versus Mr. 300-pounder?
Depends on what type of fighting we're having, but yes, I would assume so. I mean, if we're talking
well,
like
a girly fight, Russ, clearly.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about fat, flabby 300 pounds, yeah, I think I can get a go at that. But if you're talking jacked, built-up 300 pounds, hell no.
Yeah, there's not many jacked 300-pounders. I am one of the rare specimens.
All right, let's go ahead and move on, guys. Talk Raw Women. Lots been going on in this division. We actually have a couple storylines out there. Emma is getting a chance, and, well, Sasha isn't. And Alexa has the belt back. Russ, what are your thoughts on all of this? Any of this?
Well, first of all, thank God Bliss got her belt back, because I was a little bit worried about that, especially when they mentioned earlier that Sasha's never defended the belt. I thought for sure, I was like, oh, well, here comes the first time she's going to do it. Woohoo! And no, they kept the story interesting. I kind of like it. I think Sasha not being able to defend the belt needs to become a big part of her character for the next year or so. Really build it up. Heck, she can win the belt again and then immediately lose it a week or two later. It works really well for her. And then the question will become, what does she need to do to keep that belt, to defend it again? You know what I mean? Like, get that thought going. And then Maybe she needs to be mean like she used to be on, you know, back in NXT. Maybe she'll go heel. Whatever she needs to do in order to get that belt, to keep that, defending that belt. They could really play this up for a good year almost. Nah, maybe, all right, maybe 6 to 8 months. But they could really do something good with that. The other things, oh my God, so much. Like I said, thank God the goddess got the belt back. She totally deserves it. Love how Nia came out, celebrated with her, and in her face, deadpanned. It was so good. Nia has been impressing me lately. I remember a year ago, we were trashing her to hell, and she's come along a lot in the last couple of months. Maybe it helps that she's Bliss's best friend. Maybe Bliss has been helping her out with that stuff. Who knows? Other than that, yeah. Are there any other women in the division? Oh, yeah, Emma. Duh. I thought for sure Emma was getting buried. 100%. I was like, okay. And especially when they came up with that stupid, you can't hashtag anymore. I was like, yep, okay, she's dead. But no, WWE surprised me. They gave her a win. And now she started the women's revolution.
Kent, you? What are your thoughts?
Well, I got a few questions for Russ. So, Russ, you're really happy with this whole four-time champion but can't defend the belt thing.
It could be a story.
Let me ask you something, Russ. How do you feeling when John Cena won number 16 for a month? Were you okay with it, Russ? Were you really happy about that? You know, him tying the Nature Boy's record, not having a substantial
different,
run? Were you cool?
Different circumstance. Different.
No, Russ. I'm asking you a question, not yeah, yes or no, please.
That's like asking.
Yes or no, please. Yes? No?
No, I wasn't
happy
with it.
Yeah. Oh, so you're cool with it every time that Triple H had a short title run or anybody else trying to get to fucking Ric Flair's record. It was completely cool. Happy-go-lucky. Yay. Let's make a fucking
storyline
out of it.
How many times did Ric Flair have a quick championship?
At least three.
Okay. Well, then it's okay to have a few.
No, it's not. All of hers have been. She's a four-time champion, while we have somebody like Mickie James, who's a six-time champ,
oh,
who's legit as fuck. And now this is just starting to look stupid. We could sit here and now call Sasha Banks a four-time champion. She has done jack shit.
With every
and
single
we're
one of them.
Approving of this?
If they get a good story out of it, I totally approve of it.
What,
but they didn't do it on first.
Across
okay.
Her forehead?
The problem is this. They didn't plan on this being a story. Do we all agree with that? This wasn't planned from the beginning.
No, I don't agree with it.
Right.
It's always been the idea to get Charlotte over as much as possible. This has everything to do with Charlotte somehow.
Yeah, so see, it's always going back to Charlotte and always going to crap.
It always goes back to Flair.
Right.
This is point of my fucking argument. Is that all goes back to Flair and the sacred number.
It does.
Right now, we're saying fuck sacred numbers.
Oh, they're
Let's
gone.
Let's just have storyline so Sasha can have four title runs and not do anything about it, and we're A-OKing it.
Well, okay, Sasha's getting six-time champion stuff isn't going to be a big deal. I don't know. It doesn't feel as big a deal.
Ladies and gentlemen, Russ also approved of Brock Lesnar ending the Undertaker streak, apparently, because Russ does not give a fuck about sacred numbers anymore.
Oh, I
so
do.
Kudos to Russ.
But we know they're breaking them. That's the other thing. We know they're breaking them.
Breaking what? My balls?
Yes, they're going to break those, and John Cena's going to break the title record holding.
John Cena's going to drop dead tomorrow.
Now, what would you do if he did? What would you do if he did? This is a Yahoo News tomorrow. John Cena drops dead out of apparently nothing.
Well, I will officially write to some of my lesser favorite wrestlers and be like, listen, I called this. Don't fuck with me anymore, okay? Just retire, Jeff Hardy.
Just retire, Jeff Hardy.
So, yeah, that's exactly how that would go on. As for Emma, once again, great. Also, my other question, Carrie, I direct this one to you, and it's not angry, unlike my tone to Russ. What the fuck was Mickey wearing on her head in the backstage?
I will be honest with you, I did not see it. Can you describe it to me?
It was like a charm necklace with like hearts or something that she wore around her head, like a headband, but it was like a charm bracelet, only bigger for your head?
Yeah, no. I think she was going hippie and she failed miserably. At least that's what it sounds like Mickey. To me.
I'm going to find a picture while you guys talk about stuff.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. So let's move on from the women, while Kent looks for that photo, and talk about the newest addition to the Raw roster. It looks, speaking of John Cena, by the way, looks like John Cena is now on Raw, and he's feuding with Roman Reigns. And there was a promo that Creative basically scoured the internet and took all of our comments and put them in one promo. Russ, what were your thoughts on, well, the return of Cena to Raw and his whole thing with Roman?
Yeah, you forgot for a few minutes there. We weren't on last week, so we had to mention to people that Cena has returned to Raw. But they don't need this. I don't know why. Okay, yeah, I guess it's neat. They're both fighting each other. I don't think they've really... Have they fought before? I don't want to say they have, but I don't think they have.
I don't believe so.
So, other than like in S.H.I.E.L.D. business, right? Maybe they've crossed paths in tag teams. All right. So they've never fought
with Ryback.
Yes, that's what I thought. That's the only thing I can think of. So, okay, I like the first time in it. I think that's going to get me a little bit just because I want to see it happen. But they don't need...
First time ever?
It could be historic, even. So, I'm just thinking... These two... Like, Roman doesn't need any more rubs. How many more rubs does this guy need? He's got almost all of them. He's going to get the Brock Lesnar rub at the end of WrestleMania now, it looks like. He's going to get the John Cena approval rub when he beats him at this feud's over with. He got the rub from Undertaker. What the hell else does this guy need to get over? Jesus Christ.
I think he's pretty much there. I mean, he even technically got a rub from Triple H.
Right. So, I'm not sure where they're going with this. Now, as for the promo on Monday, I liked it. I'll be honest with you. I know Kent didn't really like it that much. You can go that route. I liked it. I thought it was... It was good. It was definitely Roman's, one of Roman's best, even though he screwed up in the beginning there. But I think Cena kind of spurring him on with his insults got him going, and he actually got a really good promo going. So kudos to Roman, and it worked for me getting behind Roman, not Cena. Cena's ticked me off with the whole Baron thing, so yeah, that's got to play with it too a little bit. But it was typical Cena. And I was kind of like, well, fuck you. Who are you to talk to Roman like this? He's been doing a lot of good things too lately. So I kind of was like, I got a Roman side a little bit with this one. So, and I liked it because it gave a personal feel. The match had nothing else going on for it right now, and there's no belts, so it needed that personal touch. I thought this gave it that personal touch. They kind of traded blows that were a little bit below the belt.
So you would safely say you're on Team Roman now?
Well, I've never been off Team Roman. But between John Cena and Roman, yeah, Team Roman.
I don't know. I'm on Team Meteor. I think when they have that match, Meteor should hit the ring. Kent,
That's a lot of deaths you're hoping for a non-feud.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes my whole John Cena's going to drop dead tomorrow thing kind of seem mundane.
Yeah, mundane, right? One thing happening instead of millions of people dying. So, or not millions, yeah. But...
Ah, extreme.
Okay, then, instead of a meteor, why don't we just have the Night King show up?
I just want the zombie apocalypse.
Those are both worse. In all aspects.
No. Because there are a lot of hungry dead people out there that would like to eat. This whole zombie apocalypse thing has made me rethink about getting cremated. I kind of want to get buried now because my hope is to come back as a zombie and get one last meal.
Would it be brains or would it be pizza? Or would it be brains on pizza?
Oh my god, and bake that shit?
Yeah, of course.
Right. I'm sure there was a question here somewhere, I just don't know what it was, Carrie.
What are your thoughts on Cena's return to Raw and the whole thing with him and Roman?
Hated it. It's absolutely vomit-inducing, bile-up-chucking, nauseatingly fucking infuriating bullshit that is taking up time on my TV screen when I could be doing something else. no, I do not want to see this match. No, I do not want to see this build up anymore. No, I just don't want it. There's zero need for it. Neither guy needs this win. Both guys, they can insult each other all they want, but let's face facts here. Both guys have been handed everything on a silver fucking platter, and neither guy can be like, oh, well, you're the golden boy. Really? No, you both were dipped in fucking gold, and you've been dragging your sacks across the whole roster. Cena, in your case, for over a fucking decade, and Roman, you're doing it just as bad, because at least Cena could cut good promos and was decent for the first year. But now? Hell no. They can both just butt-fuck each other for the entirety of the match, and it'll be just as good as if they try. I am so sick of these two already. No, I don't want to see it. I don't want either guy to get over. I want Elias Samson to come out with 100 guitars and break each and every one of them over Roman Reigns and then shoot John Cena in the head. Those are my thoughts.
How's he carrying 100 guitars at once?
Hey, he could have the Miztourage help.
Okay, fair enough. You got it.
Because he is just one man.
Sure.
He's not Heath Slater.
Well, Kent, there's plenty of room on Team Meteor with me.
I will join anything that results in mass casualties in this.
Excellent. This is going way darker than I expected it to.
Well,
I'm sorry. They gave us John Cena versus Roman Reigns in the pettiest bitch fest of, oh no, you're the golden boy. No, you get more opportunities. No, my hair's wetter. No, you can't see me. Me, 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 me. It makes me want The Rock to come back and insult them both so bad. Even though The Rock had everything handed to him, at least he fucking worked really hard on his craft. So please bring The Rock back and put both these bitches in their place. And then have New Jack kill them.
All right, let's lighten the mood and talk about something that, well, is a lot better. Let's talk about Braun Strowman being number one contender to the Universal title. He and Brock Lesnar have a match at No Mercy. Kent, what are your thoughts?
I'm in favor of this match. I'm not in favor of the outcome.
They have a chance to make the outcome right.
No, they don't.
They have a chance.
Also
it's not going to happen.
Cena versus Roman in the same night, Russ. Do you think that they give a fuck about building for the future?
No.
No, they do not give a fuck. So, is Braun going to win the championship? Oh, hell no. Okay? That shit is not happening. We're going to go back to Suplex City. Oh, Suplex. Oh, Suplex. Oh, Brock's down. Oh, my God. He's turning purple. Oh, F5.
When was Brock?
Oh, he wins.
Other than being thrown through a table or anything, when was the last time Brock did anything but a suplex?
2005?
I know, right?
I want to get off the Brock Express. I want to pack up my shit from my, you know, vacation home in Suplex City.
Yeah, right.
I want to move the fuck out. I don't want to go back, okay? I'm done in Suplex City. Let's nuke it. Start the zombie apocalypse there. All right, fuck that shit. On a more positive note, and not really related, I did see a nice video where Paul Heyman showed up to one of Jim Ross's one night shows and did this whole like nice story about Jim Ross coming to WrestleMania the day after his wife passed away and stuff. It was like this really nice touching video, so I would recommend that because I have to add a little bit of positivity to all my murder and apocalypse and Carrie's meteors.
I don't know. You've been pretty positive, Kent, so far.
Russ, how about you make it even more positive? What are your thoughts on all of this with Lesnar and Strowman?
Well, I'm holding out hope that they still do the right thing here. There's a perfect opportunity right now to drop the belt to Braun and still not have it affect at all the Brock versus Roman match at WrestleMania 34. It's plenty of time right now to give Braun a decent run with the title. You can play it off with Brock being injured, and he won't be back for 5 months. Comes back at Royal Rumble, gets his rematch versus Braun. He beats him. Okay, fine, fantastic. Who cares? Braun will have had a chance. Braun is on fire. He's the most over character that the WWE has, and if they can't figure that out and can't put the belt on him when he's hot, they're morons because they want to keep this stupid story that Brock is going to give the belt to Roman, they can still do it. Be smart here, WWE. Give the belt to Braun. Let him see what he can do for 5 months. Then go back to Brock. Then go back to Roman. And then let Roman and Braun feud again 6 or 7 months down the line from WrestleMania. There you go. Writes itself. Come on, WWE. Don't be stupid.
Wait, Ross, I got to interject here. Everything you just said really applied to Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens this past year. What happened, Russ?
Yeah, it turned into dog shit. I get that, but...
Oh, Bill Goldberg needed that belt, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Okay, so Braun Strowman...
I know it's not happening. I know it's not happening. I'm just...
Right. History.
Yes.
Since history is our valuable lesson...
Yes. WWE doesn't learn us. From.
Braun's not touching that belt.
No, he's not. But they have a chance to do it right, and they're not going to.
Oh, they had a chance not to bury Baron Corbin. What'd they do?
Hey, guys, I'm John Cena. This guy's not worth it.
Is that true now? Is it fact, or we don't know yet?
There's been 3 sources that have reported it.
Okay.
I'm led to believe it's fact based on... We know Cena held back Wade Barrett. We know that happened.
Right.
Let's not forget what he did to Alex Riley, too.
Yeah, let's not forget that.
So Baron is basically boned.
But with Cena out of there, he may not have as much influence on that roster anymore.
True.
We don't know that for fact. Because at least Baron did cut that one piece of promo about Cena, which I enjoyed.
I don't know. It just makes me feel like John Cena says no, then Vince is like, okay, no, he's not. And then, you know, does his thing. Does his Vince thing.
Hey, John Cena and Nikki Bella proposed in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania. Is the greatest moment ever.
It was a very touching moment. You're right, Kent. I'm so glad you cared. Are you taking a picture of the bandana thing?
Yes, I am, because I went to Hulu, and they edited out the Emma versus Mickey James entirely from Hulu.
Really?
So kudos to WWE for that. I like WWE a lot this whole month. I've really been a fan.
You have.
Well, how about we talk about something we're a fan of, guys. But before I move on, any other things you guys want to touch on Raw, or... We're done.
Give Elias Sampson more time. That man is gold right now.
Give him a good feud, too. I agree. He's been...
Matt Hardy versus him. Since Jeff's got the IC thing going, give him Matt Hardy. I think that could be a fun little feud for a month.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. He needs something.
Picture sent on Facebook. Everybody grab your phones.
I don't have my phone on me.
I'll talk to you about the greatness of Matt Hardy versus Elias. Why, Elias could break the guitar and be like, look, now my guitar's broken, bitch. And it'd be so good. Think about how many great things could come from that.
He could sing a song about being broken.
Right. Like the Boulevard of Broken Dreams he could perform. I just want to take a walk with Elias. That's all. That's all I really want right now on Raw.
I wanted somebody to tell me what the heck Mickey James was thinking with that headpiece.
It looks amazingly bad, doesn't it?
Oh my god, that's awful.
What is that, though, is the big question.
I have no clue.
Like, it's not a tiara, but I don't know. It's like a headband. I'm confused by it.
At least she didn't wear it out.
If she only wore that and nothing else, I would have supported it.
Totally, completely. Equal rights.
All right, fair enough. Any thoughts on Elias? Further thoughts on Elias, Russ? Or
no, I like Elias. I think they're doing his progression well. I mean, it felt like he got buried a little bit, but I don't think he was getting buried because he still let him do his gimmick. So, I thought it was pretty good.
I have a question. Actually, I have 2 questions. One, are they booking Elias better than Jason Jordan? Despite them talking a lot about Jason Jordan, they're not giving him wins. He kind of looks like shit, where at least Elias just goes out, does his shtick, goes in, gets out. Who are they booking better?
Well, I'd say George.
I was asking that to Carrie Russ.
Oh, sorry.
I was looking at her clearly.
Clearly.
Oh.
It was very easy to see.
Right.
Okay, we used to do the pointing thing when you wanted me to talk. But anyway.
You're not an obedient dog, Carrie. You're a woman.
Yes.
Well, Assert thank
your you. Feminism. Yeah.
And here are my thoughts. I think they're booking Elias better, but I would really like to hear the backstage conversations that Jason Jordan has with Kurt Angle. I think they go something like this. Daddy, give me an Intercontinental title chance. No? Well, how about a Battle Royal, Daddy? You could put me in it as one of the top three. Daddy? 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 Fine.
No, see, I think Kurt Angle would respond positively to that, so.
I think Kurt Angle would be doing some female from behind and saying, who's your daddy, during that conversation, but everything else. A black woman. Let's be politically correct here.
Yes.
Because he likes that. Good for him. My second question.
What?
I had a second question, and I don't know what it is anymore. My head just exploded from the Who's Your Daddy thing.
Right. Okay, I want to talk real quick about the Jason Jordan Elias thing. I think Jason Jordan's actually being booked better. Yeah, he didn't win the Battle Royal, but that it's going to end up being meaningless anyway. There's no way Jeff Hardy's going to win next week.
Is he getting over, though, at all? Because at least Elias had the crowd in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Elias has the crowd reaction. Jordan is definitely not getting over. I think they want him to be a face, and he's just not making the jump.
I know what my second question was, now that I've collected myself. So, how's that Gold Dust scouting talent angle going for everybody? Really good, right?
That's why he was in the Battle Royal. He was scouting the talent.
And who was that? Kurt Hawkins that he was scouting?
Oh my god. I feel so bad for that man.
He has a job. Okay?
Yeah, I guess
that's... feel bad for him.
He
wouldn't be making money on the indie circuit, okay? We know this. Like, he wouldn't be. So, he gets to go out every so often, be made a fool of, and he collects paychecks. That's not bad.
I guess not. It's just... I like Kurt Hawkins, and I can't get behind him because he's such trash.
You can't get behind him because he's never going to get an opportunity. But he's not bad in ring, really. He's a good ring hand.
Yeah. He's the quintessential jobber of today's market.
Brooklyn Brawler approves.
Yeah.
Well, at least he didn't, you know, dress up as Pelvis Wesley this week. What were your thoughts on that, guys?
Oh, God.
Well, you just heard both of us groan.
Well, I guess I got my answer then. All right, let's move on.
What a waste of Southpaw. If they're going to screw this up, screw it up magnificently, not stupidly like this week. Oh, my God. The crowd did not react at all.
The one dude was looking, like, staring death rays. I was like, I'm fucking mad. I'm wasting my money and time.
I know. There was, like,
it was great.
There was another guy, too, who looked like... He goes, he mouthed, isn't that Heath Slater? That's what he said, basically. It was right out there to go. It was like, I don't remember what it was. He was walking down, and they went and panned on somebody, and he was mouthing, looks like Heath Slater. Like, he didn't know who it was. I'm just like, oh, my God. Southpaw is popular, but there's a big difference between the wrestling fans and the WWE universe. And we're going to talk about that because when we get to SmackDown with Bobby Roode, there's a connection there. So I really do want to talk about that. But half the crowd had no idea who that was. They thought it honestly probably was a jobber, the ones who are in the far back. Because there's no reaction.
I said this in the blog. I think WWE Creative needs to keep the Raw out of my Southpaw. Southpaw is good. Have you guys watched the second season yet?
I've seen most of it. It's pretty funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. Susan!
Is the whole thing out?
Yeah. The progression of his character is fantastic. I kind of watched it out of order. I watched one of the last episodes first, so I knew it was going to happen. But watching the progression go for him was hilarious.
Russ, why would you watch it out of order?
I didn't mean to. I didn't realize it was... I didn't realize all of them were out, and I realized...
How many are out?
Six, right? I think.
Yeah, all six.
And how long are they, like,
Half like, hour?
No, five not minutes
even
each.
5 minutes.
Half hour altogether.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be something I watch tonight for dinner.
You will start calling Renee Young Susan.
Yes. Susan!
Susan! All right, let's move on. Anything else on Raw, guys?
No, let's stop talking about Raw.
All right, let's move on to... No. And for my news story of the week, quick Ric Flair update. He is on the mend, according to an article I read today on WrestlingInc.com. Starting physical therapy, apparently, and he also was on social media in the past few days. So, Ric Flair, slowly getting well, and hopefully will return soon. Which is also kind of what he said in his tweet, too. So, all good news all around for Ric Flair.
He can't die until Cena breaks his championship record. Oh my god, how bad would that be?
You know what, though? That'd be... Alright. On the morbid side of things, let's just think about this for a second. Cena breaks the record, Ric Flair dies within the hour. John Cena couldn't show his face for a while, I don't think.
No. He can't.
You know, if Ric Flair's going to die for our sins, yeah. I'm okay with Ric Flair being our wrestling Jesus. There, I'm just going out there, I'm saying it. If John Cena kills Ric Flair, it really would be something. Now, Carrie, I'm more curious. What about the other story about Sexy Star? Because I've been finding this pretty good.
I don't. Okay, can someone clear this up for me? Because I came in the middle of it, and they didn't really explain it really well. So I don't know anything about this.
You came in the middle of it? Did you watch it?
No. Did you watch it? I didn't know you could even
watch
it.
There's no middle of it. There's a story. Read the past things, and you'll be caught up. There's like four stories.
Well, for anyone who's listening or, you know, yeah, doesn't have internet access, what it happened? Because I'm not clear. I heard she injured someone.
She injured Rosemary, who does the F5. She calls it the Red Wedding. Pretty fucking awesome. She wrestles for GFW/TNA. Sexy Star held her in a fucking armbar for way too long. I believe it was a triple threat match. I don't remember who the third lady was in it. But Sexy Star clearly just cranked on Rosemary's arm and is become well known that it seemed kind of intentional. I don't know if there was bad blood beforehand or if maybe Rosemary stiff shot at her. I don't know, but either way, when you're working with somebody in the ring, you don't take liberties like that. I mean, a stiff punch back, that's fine. That's acceptable. Stretch somebody out, that's fine and acceptable. Fuck them over and injure them for months? Not acceptable. And Cody Rhodes has straight up called for any company that she works for to not allow her in the locker room.
Right, I heard about that.
So, kudos to Cody.
Yeah. Stepping up as a ring general there.
Yeah. As one of the smartest wrestlers ever alive, I think a lot of people will follow his lead, I hope. I don't know anything about Sexy Star, though. She wrestles in Lucha.
She wrestled in Lucha. Right? She was one of the fiercest women. I liked her. That's why I was surprised. I thought it was Lucha Underground that it happened in. I didn't realize she'd moved to TNA.
It was for AAA WrestleMania. I don't know what the fuck they call it. AAA Mania, I believe.
Okay.
It's their big thing in Mexico. And yeah, TNA has a working relationship with AAA and NOAH, I think.
Okay.
In Japan. So all of them were working together. Just a shitty thing to do to somebody.
It is. Now, are they both from different different companies?
Sexy Star, I believe, was working for AAA.
Okay.
And I don't know anything about her.
Well, she's Lucha, what I know. But when she's not Lucha, I guess she's AAA.
Yeah, basically, okay. I think AAA and Lucha kind of work hand in hand. That's kind of how that works, as I know Prince Puma on Lucha Underground is also Ricochet in AAA and vice versa. It's just, with Sexy Star, it's almost shameful that this has happened, because I think over 6 months ago, she was actually holding on to the Lucha Underground
title. Lucha Underground Championship, yeah. I thought, wow, she's a legit star. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, she's really talented. I always enjoyed watching her in the ring. This is just awful. that she would...
Oh, she paged the hell out of her career.
Oh, yeah, she killed it. She tanked it. You know what the worst part is? She was promising she could keep up with the men. Like, she fought the men really well, especially in the lucha department. It's a shame.
All right, guys, let's move on. This is really sad. To something that isn't so sad. Russ, it's man crush time. Who is it this week?
All right, so I've noticed this guy from across the SmackDown universe. At first I didn't notice it, but his singing voice is fantastic. And they've been displaying it a lot lately. And he's also been getting some wins lately. So, you know, I've taken notice on this man. And yes, this man is actually Aiden English. SmackDown this week, holy crap. He is actually really, built, I guess is the best word to say. He's not big, but he's like muscly, all muscle. And I didn't notice it until this week. And the way he's grown his hair out, it's really good. So I never thought I'd be like one for the petite muscles, but here I am with Aiden English being my man crush of the week.
He's got like a smaller Cesaro type body.
Yeah.
He's just a solid fucking dude.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Did you pick up on his new music?
Yes.
WWE's been handing out new music like it's fucking Halloween candy lately with Corbin.
But his wasn't bad.
Aiden's is good.
Yeah.
Corbin sucks.
Yep.
Emma's is fucking terrible.
Terrible.
Oh my god, there's nothing to like about it. It's not catchy. There's no fun to it.
Nope.
They took all the fun out of Emma.
Yeah, like when she came out to that, I listened to it. I'm like, well, this is terrible. I hope this is an old song they're just trying to get, you know, hold on to or something there.
And then she tried doing her whole, like, where she, you know, does both her fists.
It didn't work, yeah.
No, that doesn't work at all.
Yeah, it was terrible music, yeah. Oh.
And didn't somebody else get new music, too?
Yeah, not Usos. Maybe it was you.
Usos had some lyrics, different lyrics, I believe.
Yeah, well, Seth Rollins got the burn it down.
Yeah.
So.
Let's talk about SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yes, let's talk debuts first, guys. So Bobby Roode came up from NXT and debuted on SmackDown last week, I believe. He had a match last week and this week as well. Let me get your thoughts, guys, on the debut of Bobby Roode. Kent, let's go with you first.
Well, I mean, fortunately, commercials are more valuable than the debuts of... You know, once in a generation type wrestlers who's basically the next Triple H. But yeah, you gotta have that intro and immediately go to commercial and forego at the beginning of the match. So by the time you come back, you're like, who is this guy and why do I care? Good job, WWE. And so they gave him, I don't even know who he fought last week, but this week they gave him Mike Kanellis, who himself has been dealing with a painkiller addiction and went to rehab. And appears to be getting his life back together, so I'm very happy for Mike. Hopefully he gets another chance, like a do-over. Him and Maria deserve a do-over. I don't like Bobby Roode as a face with this character. Bobby Roode as a face in TNA worked when it was Beer Money. And JBL even mentioned Beer Money last week. Bobby Roode as a face with the Glorious gimmick... I think they only wanted to be him to be faced because they thought the crowd was going to get behind his song. Well, they did in Brooklyn because it was fucking Brooklyn. Every place else, that song's really probably not going to get over with the fans, so they need to change him to a heel fairly quickly, in my opinion. Plus the whole, like, bouncing around looking happy and doing, like, a Ric Flair shit doesn't work for me.
Fair enough. Russ, what about you?
Well, I echo Kent's sentiment. Nothing like having the guy get introduced for the first time on the main roster and then immediately go to commercial. That was makes a little sense. And I think this goes to a bigger problem that WWE is having. They're confusing the hardcore fans with the WWE universe. And this is what I was talking about earlier. And WWE is starting to lose that line. The hardcore fans know who Bobby Roode is. The hardcore fans know Southpaw Wrestling. The casual WWE Universe guys They don't pay attention unless it's on the actual WWE main roster. So when Bobby Roode came out yesterday, I'm like, I was stoked. I was like, sweet, I'm going to see this because I missed it when he came out on the interview. So I was like, let's listen to it. It was almost dead silent. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is Bobby Roode coming out. People should be screaming glorious, booing, cheering, whatever. This guy's amazing. He should be treated amazingly. And he got nothing when he came out. Now, Bobby Roode can survive this. But what about everyone else? And it makes sense. Think about what NXT is, or WWE has done to the NXT groups since they've come up here. And I think this is a pattern we're noticing. Bobby Roode's going to get past this. He is too talented not to. And by the end of his match with, who the hell did he fight? Mike. They were getting behind it. And it was a short match, too. And people were...
They were getting behind the glorious part. You're right. Yeah. The crowd got into it.
Yes. So by the end of the match, I mean, he's going to be fine. Bobby's going to get this. It's not Bobby I'm worried about. I am a little bit because I noticed it with Bobby. But they expect us to know who these people are. And they're just throwing them in. Like, okay, here he is. Instead of giving us anything. Like a good segment in the back. Let us hear them talk. You know, anything like that.
Let me ask a question. And I'll... Since it's about a female... I'll directed to our female. We've seen Finn, Shinsuke, Joe, and Bobby. We all know they'll get over or have gotten over. Asuka. Now, there's another Japanese person who doesn't speak very articulate. She's better than Shinsuke, but she's not very good on the mic. We can all agree with that. But she has such a personal flair about her. She's very charismatic. Is she going to have a hard time getting over on the main roster?
I think with her, it depends on where they put her. They put her on Raw, she gets lost. Even with her out there personality and her ability, she's going to get lost. You put her on SmackDown, she's got a half a fighting chance, provided she's booked properly. We got to keep in mind, booking is what is going to hurt her. Booking is what has hurt some of the call-ups already.
Such a... Although they're doing great with him right now. The Ascension. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Connor with his pies. When will he learn?
I'll say this. Asuka is more about booking, because you're right. She has no... Other than her dominance personality, she has nothing.
Well, she has a look.
Yes.
Let's not overlook the fact that looks really matter on the main roster.
Then they play big time on
it. She has one of the five most unique looks in all of wrestling today, probably.
Yes.
And she wears a thong over her fucking wrestling tights for some fucking reason. Nobody's ever explained that to me, but it happens. It's cool.
Yeah, and she's also really good in the ring, so she'll get over in the ring. But
all right, would you book her as a heel or face? Or I mean, because let's face it, we would all book her as a person that takes on all challengers.
Yes,
but that's because we have brains. How should WWE book her, providing that they're going to make her heel or face? Which one?
Make her heel. Well, right now with Charlotte being face, I say heel, unless they vice versa.
I say heel. I say heel as well. I mean, I like her saying, "You can't handle Asuka." I want to hear her say that to everyone.
You jingoistic fools. Jinder Mahal warned me of you.
So you're saying you'd go face?
Oh, God, no. I'd just have her be a tweener.
Yeah, yeah, tweener, definite.
Legitimately.
Right, tweener, definite. Oh, yeah, she should be taking all comers on.
Yeah, like, she should be... Goldberg came out and took on heels and face. If they want to keep comparing her to Goldberg, treat her like fucking Goldberg.
Yeah.
She's better than Goldberg ever was.
She's probably one of the best.
In ring, she's without doubt one of the top three female wrestlers I've ever seen.
Yeah. So...
She's great, but if she doesn't get a story to go with it,
right.
All that talent in the world's just, see ya.
Yep.
So many lost people along the way. Bo Dallas.
But it, and this all stemmed from our NXT discussion, or just talking about NXT bring ups. So back to it, I think Bobby Roode's going to make it. But it does bring into question like people like The Ascension.
What about the Authors of Pain? I feel like they're an impossible group to fuck up, but then I saw what they did to The Ascension.
Yeah, they're totally going to fuck them up.
But they have one thing. They have Paul Ellering.
Yeah, they have Paul Ellering.
Mouthpiece.
Yeah.
That, I think, will be the difference in getting them over.
As long as they keep him. I mean, you never know what the hell they're going to do in the main roster.
Hey, Paul Heyman couldn't get Curtis Axel over, so that also goes to show that sometimes...
Yeah.
Should Bobby Roode stay his face? They're booking him as a face right now.
No. He is way better as a heel. He is an amazing heel. He is Triple H level heel, and they need to explore it.
Would you milk it for right now to have him go against Owens before turning him heel? Like, give us a good Roode Owens feud? I'd be fine with that for 3 months before turning him.
Yeah, I'm fine with him being face for right now, but again, we got to be careful because he's as he goes into SmackDown, like next week, I expect a reaction next week because he got a reaction towards the end of that match. So the crowds now are noticing him. So now they're going to be like, oh, yeah, Bobby Roode. So, yeah, he's going to get over.
This was a shitty crowd in and of itself.
Yeah, they were pretty.
And Little Rock. I mean, those are two shit locations for fans that appeared.
Yeah, Memphis was garbage.
Yeah. Carrie, do you think that both places were, you know, a barren wasteland for Cena and Roman Marks?
Oh, yeah. Definitely Markville. There are lots of Mark Markingtons there.
Damn you, Markington.
Now. That guy who's always on the pre-show is not here to defend himself. I really don't like that guy. Anyways, let's talk about things that we do like. And let's talk about another return. And let's talk about Shelton Benjamin coming back. And they're pairing him with Chad Gable. And then let's get into our Kentertain segment of the week. But first, let's talk about Shelton Benjamin's return. Russ, what are your thoughts?
Not impressed, unfortunately. I like Shelton Benjamin. But last week, I missed it, so I didn't get any of that. And the match he had this week was... I don't know if it's WWE's fault. I'm going to blame them. But having that match right away, okay, fine. Then they put it in commercial. And in like 5 seconds... it wasn't 5 seconds. I know it wasn't. But it felt like 5 seconds after the commercial was done, the match was over. I used to like it. I hate having those matches in the commercials now. Because it ruined this one, I thought. Because I like Shelton Benjamin, and I couldn't get behind it. I could barely pay attention to what was going on the screen. I had no idea what they were... You know, there was no... It was too small. I couldn't make the connections. It was just... Ugh. Oh, man, yeah. No, I'm not impressed so far. And I like Shelton Benjamin.
How about you, Kent?
I think WWE needs to formulate a policy where they are not allowed to go into a commercial break until at least, let's say, 3 minutes has passed in the match. So you get a good feel for the flow, and if they want to interrupt it, that's fine, because we know entrances take a while, depending on on who's coming out, right? But at least 3 minutes before you go to a commercial break. That means, no, we don't need a Raw recap. We don't. We don't need to know what happened just 3 minutes ago. Let the wrestlers come out, start their story, go to commercial, come back. If you want to interrupt the flow, you need to get a flow started first, though. You can't just cold start it. The Ascension got no intro at all. They were just... Connor was mounting Victor. And I was like, am I seeing Dean and Seth in face paint? I wasn't sure at first, but I was like, God, Dean put on a lot of weight. So I was very confused. Then I found out it was the Ascension. And then I was thinking, oh, it's the Ascension, so maybe they're going to go against Breezango. No, okay, Shelton and Gable. The crowd sucked, and the finishing move consisted of Gable throwing just like a short Irish whip Victor, I think it was, into Shelton for pay dirt. That was their finishing move and their only double team move. I know they just threw them together, but over the past week, they should have been on top of that shit, thinking about ways to do some double teams. Because World's Greatest Tag Team, they had no problems. I know it takes time, but this whole past week, as soon as they found out they were together, they should have been working on double team spots. So I feel that I don't know if they blew it or booking blew it. Usually I'm going to side with booking blew it. But as a fan, either way, no. I was not entertained this week by that, unfortunately.
How about you, Russ? Were you entertained?
No. I was definitely not entertained by that one at all. It was just terrible. I thought I had a question for Kent, and now I totally lost it. But I thought it was a relevant question. I should have asked it when I had the chance. Shoot.
Was it Connor related?
Yes, it was Connor related. Thank you. I got it. I knew if you'd said it. Aren't you just glad that Connor got out there after eating so much pie and logs with maple syrup?
He needed the exercise. Yes. I'm so happy because that guy is going to die of a fucking fat.
Exactly. We need to keep Connor alive. We need to do hashtag keep Connor alive.
I want to know if Connor has a chick, and if so, I want to know what she looks like.
Oh, he has to. Come on. You think we could Google that?
I think he does, and I think she just recently had a baby or just recently announced she was pregnant. I can't remember.
Oh, that would explain all the baby weight he gained.
Exactly. We got it. It's sympathy weight. Oh, we figured it out. And here we just thought he was a hungry man for maple syrup and logs.
Wait, I want to point out, the first thing that comes up when I type Connor WWE is weight. I'm not making this up. That's the first thing. That's great.
That's awesome. No, I want to see this. Oh, I don't want to get rid of that. All right, I'll get rid of this.
Wait, yeah. All right, she's blonde. Yeah, there's a baby thingy in her hands. She looks pretty. Huh. Good for that fat fuck.
Well, he wasn't fat when he got her, probably.
Russ, trust me, he's been fat for a while.
Hey, he just really likes catering, guys.
Well, and who can blame him? Huh, good for him. Yeah. I'm really happy for Connor right now.
Yep, she is pretty attractive. I think that's her.
Blonde?
Yeah. He's holding her in a... He says something about a baby.
He's choking her out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, that answers all of our questions. Carrie, were you entertained, though? That's what we really need to know.
Oh, not at all. I think I watched about 2 seconds and then played with the dog. That's my standard I really don't care about this match reaction.
Wow, Connor looked so much better in NXT. Holy crap.
He put on at least 30 to 40 pounds on main roster.
Again, I want to say he put on catering. 50 pounds. That man, okay, there's a difference between loving catering and loving catering. And he loves catering. I'm just looking at him in his tag team championship belt, and he's holding it, and he looks really good. And then you go to four pictures down, it looks like with a New Day and stuff, and Connor looks like he barely fit in his outfit.
He is living the dream.
He is
eating so much good food.
He's eating well.
That just makes me think that if I could grow facial hair, I could have been the next Connor.
If you want to see these pictures, Google WWE Connor Ascension girlfriend, and you'll see what I mean.
Wow, you went the extra mile. Just a WWE Connor wife.
Well, I wasn't sure if he was married or not, so I said girlfriend. So.
Gotta make that leap of faith sometimes. You just gotta believe.
Yeah.
Speaking of things we believe in, so there's been a couple backstage interviews with Dolph Ziggler the past couple of weeks. Apparently he's coming out with a new gimmick. I have to hear, guys, what are your thoughts on this? What do you think he's going to come up with? Kent, you first.
Oh, I want to go first.
No, Russ, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Kent. Russ, go first, because I think Russ is really excited.
Because I just thought about this today. I was like, man, what if Dolph comes out with a super ultra ridiculous gimmick, just like super flashy, like big production. It's terrible. Like to the normal person, it's terrible. Like he would hate it. But it gets so over with the universe, and just people love it so much that he has to be stuck with it. I would find that hilarious. It's meant to be bad. That's the whole point about it. But people get behind it so much because they're assholes that it becomes a thing, and he has to keep the gimmick. I don't care. I don't care if it's like Doink the Clown. That would be hilarious.
All right. Kent, how about you?
All right. So I have two thoughts about this. Next week, he comes out in, like, plain black Ric Flair tights with no writing on it and wrestles the most mat-based wrestling match we've seen in the past 20 years. And the fans hate it, which I think would be amazing. Or the other side, which is way, way better, is flamboyant Dolph Ziggler is like Adam Rose meets Broadway. Huge production, background dancers, singers perhaps, lots of color, lots of lighting, make a huge production. His entrance should take longer than any of his matches. His entrance should take at least 3, if not 5 minutes. Make it like a fucking Broadway show. That's what I want. I want it to be so over the top and it be so bad, but as Russ alluded to, so bad that the fans eat it up and Dolph is forced to keep it and he ends up in the main event for it. And that's going to prove that he's right. All it takes is a shitty gimmick.
Exactly. That's what's great about it. If it's a really shitty gimmick and people get behind it. Like, it has to be a production, though. If they don't make this a production, I don't know what the point of this whole thing was. Right?
Are they really going to invest money in Dolph, though, at this point in his career? That's the only thing that I'm a little concerned about. Like, I think he's worth it. I think Dolph is great.
Yeah.
But by the same token, So, I mean, I don't know what goes on in their minds. So,
right.
Will they waste the money on it?
Gotta hope so. I hope that just 1 week, even if it's just 1 week, I want to see a huge production. But then I want to see it take off, too, so.
Can they just bring Kerwin White back and have Dolph be his caddy? that would bring ratings.
What do you think, Carrie?
I'm thinking, why doesn't he just be a gimmick stealer? Steal everybody else's gimmick, come out and try to outdo, like, Finn Balor's demon gimmick, or Bray Wyatt's, you know, Wyatt family gimmick, or something like that. Come out and try pretend to be Brock Lesnar. I don't know. I think that could be entertaining and interesting. I mean, he's basically saying, hey, all these guys have these weird, you know, out there gimmicks, and the fans love it. Well, the fans will love me if I imitate them, right?
I would get behind that. Didn't somebody do that at one point?
Yeah, someone was...
Was it Heath?
No, I don't think Heath ever did that. No, it was Curtis Axel.
You're right, it was Curtis. Okay. I knew it was somebody over there. I'd be 100... Like, Dolph with black hair coming out as Big Daddy Cool. I'm fine with that. He could pull off so many things because he actually has some decent acting ability. Whatever it is, just make it big.
Yes, it has to. Even if it's just 1 week of big, I don't. That's all I'm asking.
Should he be the one that wins the belt off of AJ? Because let's face it, the AJ Styles Open Challenge isn't working on any level for anybody.
Yeah,
it should. On paper, it should, but it's not.
Why don't we move into that real quick? So AJ Styles Open U.S. Open Challenge not working for anybody, Carrie?
No, not really. It's almost like they're using it as another way to further bury Baron Corbin.
Yeah, it seems like that to me, too. The only thing I'll say about it is I loved the open challenge with Cena, but that was because they made it a showcase of a talent. And we all knew they weren't going to win, but they showcased the talent to make him look good. That didn't happen against Ty Dillinger for AJ.
Right. Like, look at Cena. He put over Neville and Sammy in those matches. Like, he really got them over really well.
Yeah.
Ty didn't get a shot because they're too busy trying to intertwine other bullshit. If you don't have an open challenge, keep the interference minimum.
Right. So, yeah, they're not. This open challenge is going to be pure garbage, unfortunately. So.
Although, if Kevin Owens was the referee for every match of the U.S. Open Challenge, I could get behind that story.
That could tell
an interesting story.
I like how they went nowheres with that, by the way. He was reffed. He left. Shane said he was going to follow him.
Yeah, were we supposed to do like an O.J. Simpson Bronco chase here? That's what I was hoping.
I know. I thought by the end of the night we'd get something. Nothing.
No follow-up whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, that was just stupid. Plus, I mean, isn't KO going to get fined at the very least? Like, how did no officials got sent out? Nobody was sent out to say, Kevin, you cannot touch a ref and rip off his shirt.
Right.
Like, people have gotten fined and suspended for way less, but it's okay suddenly, even though he's feuding with Shane? That makes no sense. The
WWE logic. Yeah, WWE logic is garbage.
Well, speaking of that logic, what are your thoughts, guys, of this Shane's involvement in all of this? I mean, it just seems so almost forced. I don't know.
Did
maybe
we forget a question? I think we forgot a question.
What is that question, Russ?
I don't remember. We were talking about...
we were talking about Dolph possibly beating AJ, and then we completely blew it.
Yeah, yeah. Dolph getting the rub from AJ. If the gimmick works, yeah, I say go for it.
Yeah. I mean, if it ends this... I love AJ, but I just want AJ as world champ. Honestly, if AJ kept the world championship for a full fucking year on SmackDown, you're not going to hear a single gripe from me.
No.
AJ stuck with this U.S. title and not doing anything with it because of poor writing. That's what's bothering me. I'd rather a non-top star holding that to get over.
Right.
So Dolph would be perfect.
Sure.
Work.
But as for the Shane thing, yeah, forced. Forced down our throats like a Cena and Roman promo.
So I guess my question to both of you is, how do we fix it? Russ, how do we fix it?
Kill John Cena?
The Shane KO stuff?
Yeah. Can you fix it? Can you fix what's going on with AJ?
You can fix what's going on with AJ if you're going to do the gimmick of open challenge. Then make it a true open challenge. Stop the whole crap, this whole stuff with burying Baron some more. And don't make... It's not supposed to be a match that showcases the champion. It's supposed to be a match that showcases the challenger, where the champion gets the win because they're the champion. So go back to that if you're going to fix that with AJ. Shane and KO, honestly, other than them completely dropping the ball and what happened after he said Shane or KO had left the building early, so that's where I'm going. So other than dropping the ball on that information, I think they're doing fine with Shane and KO.
But are you interested in it at all?
Only because I know that those two will probably put on a fantastic match. That's the only interest I have.
Oh, just like KO and AJ did. Oh.
Oh, yeah, KO and AJ never really got off the ground. But Shane makes... When has Shane had a bad match?
Steve Blackman, maybe?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I just want to take a shot at Eric's favorite wrestler.
I also find it funny that you said put on black tights earlier with no names or anything like that, and I was thinking Steve Blackman the entire time.
Ah, that's awesome.
No gimmick, nothing, just a floor mat, and nobody liked him. So it works.
A flashy kendo stick. Yeah.
So, I say fix AJ's dilemma with giving, if you're going to kick the open challenge, make it good. If not, go back to him defending the title with a story. Jeez Louise, it's not that hard. He's an amazing champion. He doesn't need the help in the ring. He just needs to have a story and let him run.
What about you, Kent? How do you propose we fix it? Is it fixable? Should it be fixed? What do you think?
All right, WWE officials, if you listen to any one bit of this podcast, just hear me out. Have Baron Corbin interfere again and again, and then eventually AJ Styles challenges him in a buried alive match where Baron Corbin gets buried for real.
So not Come just on. Metaphorically, it'll be literal.
Right. It will be literally. I know the suits are like, holy shit, we could do that. Like, so yes, do a buried alive match and just put Baron right in the dirt and be done with it. Because as a fan right now, I have fucking had it with your bullshit, you fucks. That's what you do with AJ for right now. You have, if they go to bury Baron Corbin, at least let it be at the hands of AJ Styles, because remember, earlier in the year, we did want Baron, or maybe even last year, we wanted Baron versus AJ. That was a feud that was possibly going to happen, and then AJ turned face. I want to see that feud, only in a Buried Alive match.
I think it would work. I mean, it would bury Baron, which he can't get much worse than he is now.
Right, I mean, he sucks. He's terrible. He's not the future. He's awful. No talent. He's a hack.
Okay, John Cena, you're channeling your inner John Cena there. I don't know. I think it would work. Just it'd be terrible. I hate Buried Alive matches. I don't think I've ever seen a good one. But if you're gonna do it, make it a quick one. Have AJ just come up with a shovel behind Baron, bash him in the back of the head. He falls into the pit. He starts burying him. John Cena comes out, does a little of this, and walks away. And that's it.
John Cena could operate the bulldozer that dumps the dirt on him.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and it needs to be a golden shovel. Maybe Triple H could hand it to him, be like, pass it of the torch, AJ.
Yes. All right. See, we just booked it better than WWE ever could.
Right. I mean, if you're all Barry Corbin, fucking do it.
Do
right.
It. Exactly.
Christ. Here's the worst part. I need a new guy for SmackDown already.
There's still a chance. There is still a chance. I mean, they are. Let's give a little
bit. Oh, yeah. Let's be optimistic about the decision that WWE is going to be made.
The only thing I was going to say is they don't obviously hate him because he's been on television recently still. But, man, they dropped him so far.
Enzo was on TV every fucking week, and pretty sure the thousands of reports about him being hated still pretty valid. So,
but Baron's not hated. Baron was hated by one person who has a lot of clout.
Oh, they could have a match between Enzo and Baron in the match of haters.
Yes.
Haters going to hate match.
Yes.
Oh my God, WWE would eat that up. It'd be historic and first time ever. I fucking hate WWE.
Speaking of first time really ever things and people not getting buried, let's talk SmackDown women quickly, guys. So apparently it looks like Tamina's getting a push. There may be tension between Ellsworth and Carmella. I want to get your thoughts on all this, guys. Russ, what do you got for me?
I honestly didn't give a rat's ass about the women's this week or last week on SmackDown. I don't know. The Carmella thing is shocking. Didn't she, for weeks, want him back, and now all of a sudden she's turning on him? That's stupid. Why?
Well,
they should be having these two be a hot tandem going together right now. They should be on fire. He came back. They should be on fire right now. Not her turning on him. That's just stupid. What was the whole point of her wanting him back?
Well,
he made one mistake.
I think in her case, it's the fact that he keeps ruining her plans for cashing in. Like, last week, she was planning on cashing in, and he basically said to Natalya, she's going to cash in on you. And then this week, he was saying, oh, you should say what your plans are for tonight. Like, that's where the tension's coming from.
Right, but what's the point of it? Like, for weeks, they were complaining to have him come back, and she was all for it, and it was actually kind of funny. And then they finally get back together, and now she's turning on him. That's dumb.
I don't think it's a full-fledged turn by
them. It's not, you're right.
It's just all ploy.
I don't know, I just don't like how... I kind of want them to be like that on that hot streak. They're melding together and they're doing really good stuff. And maybe that's what I'm.
Well, it kind of hurt Carmella to lose Ellsworth for the month because Carmella was the hottest thing going in that division, and now she's kind of lukewarm. Tamina's picking up a little bit of momentum. Whether that sticks or not, who knows?
If Lana sticks around, I think it will.
Yeah, Naomi's just done.
Yep.
For now. Charlotte. Gee, you know, I don't miss her at all.
What happened to Becky, though?
Isn't it do you really miss... Do either of you miss Charlotte's presence on SmackDown?
No. I forgot for a little while, and I was like, wait. I almost said last week, literally right before they told us, you know, Ric Flair's condition, I go, where the hell has Charlotte been? I completely forgot that she'd probably be with her father.
Yeah, it's been really nice.
What happened to Becky, though?
The thing is that... Becky was on last week.
Not this week, though.
Well, not everybody's on every week on SmackDown.
That's
because
true.
They've got 2 hours. Yeah. I will say this. Natalia's shirt with her cat on it, I found that kind of funny. I enjoyed it. I don't usually like a lot of her stuff with her cat, but that one was pretty good.
Was her shirt paws out, claws out?
Yeah. It had like a really nice design to it. I was like, good for her. That suits her character way better than anything else I've seen her wear in a while. I mean, I kind of missed the whole dominatrix thing she had going, but yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah, right.
Paws out, claws out. That works for me. You know that division's in trouble, though, when Natalia's also your champion. Right now, they're in such a weird spot where Natalia's their champion. They don't know of a better way to get Tamina over than have her go over jobbers. Charlotte's gone.
Only for another week or so.
Naomi can't hit anybody with her jumping 50 million kicks. They're in a little bit of a pickle, to say the least. So, Asuka, or fuck it, bring Ember up. I say bring Ember up now. That division needs an injection of new blood.
Oh, Ember's going to get the belt, I think, now.
I don't see a point in it. She don't need a belt.
No?
Nope. She is as refined in the ring as she's going to get, for better or worse. I think she's perfectly fine in the ring. Some people need the title run to actually get acclimated to holding the belt. Ty Dillinger, I thought that was the biggest mistake in NXT, was not giving him
absolutely
something.
You're right. He needed something.
But Ember is a person that I think can get over without a belt, and I think she's fine. SmackDown women need help, though.
Yes.
Carmella cannot carry that division.
No. But she doesn't have to. Becky should be carrying that division.
Becky's not being given an opportunity to do anything.
I know. Like, that's why I don't understand. Like, she's not doing anything, and she should be one of the best. She's being squandered on SmackDown. She should go to Raw.
Well, as I said, I would just trade all the faces for all the faces in the women's division and really change things up.
That works.
That sounded very weak.
Very sad and very weak.
Like we upset at you. Yep.
Like last year, Alexa was doing so good, and Becky was so good, and now we're left with this.
Oh. that works, I guess.
When they did the shakeup, they really just raided that division.
But they didn't, because they have Charlotte over there now, and they have...
The biggest acquisition in SmackDown history!
Yes, it was historic! First time ever.
Yeah, and what did she have? One title shot, and that was it? Yeah. That was kind of a
waste. On the plus side, I gotta say this. I'm at least watching SmackDown Women's Wrestling again.
That's true.
I stopped once Charlotte came over. I really stopped watching any match that she was involved in. Can't stand her wrestling style. She bores me.
Wow. Well, you're going to suck when she comes back, because I'm pretty sure they're going to be doing something with her.
Oh, God. I don't have to watch a wrestling segment a week? My God, what will I use with that spare time? Goodness.
I'm sure you'll figure something out.
Well, speaking of boring champions, let's talk WWE Championship.
Awesome.
Huh?
Jinder Mahal?
Yes, let's...
Hindrance?
Yes, let's talk hindering the gender, let's talk Rusev, Orton, Shinsuke, and everything that's been going on the past 2 weeks with that group of individuals. Russ, what do you got for me?
Well, I never thought Shinsuke would bore the shit out of me, but here we are in a main event title bout, and I don't care. Wow. I don't know why either. I don't know if it's gender's fault or Shinsuke's fault. I'm going to blame gender, I guess. but I just don't care. I really don't care. And it's really bad. You know what I care more about? Fashion Files. My goodness. They came back with a pretty decent promo this week. Thought it was pretty funny. I like how Fandango, I just want to say this real quick, looked at the belt and said championship. Which is fantastic, because that's what we all call the belts, championships. So I thought that was great.
I thought the three pairs of sunglasses was my favorite thing.
That was pretty funny, too. At first, I wasn't understanding it, and then I noticed he just kept on putting sunglasses. What the hell? So much better than Shinsuke versus the Singh brothers. Now, I don't know. Gender needs to keep the belt for a long time. You can shake your head no all you want, Kat, but you know it's right.
What do you think,
Kat? Gender needs to get buried in that pit with Baron, okay?
Yes, he does. He is way worse than Baron ever has been, ever. He's just so boring.
Like, imagine... All right, so imagine seeing this conversation. All right, let's provide feedback for Baron. Well, he's young, he's not ready. What do you think about gender? That's a star. Keep that man,
keep
on,
that man on that top.
He won't bore anybody.
Not at all. The worst part is it's booking. Mostly it's booking. They're the ones really blowing this, too, because they don't have to go the route they're going, and they keep on doing it, and it's boring as shit. Especially when Shinsuke, who's not an American citizen, they shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the, you know, USA versus, you know, a foreign country thing here. They're both from non-US countries.
Gender's from Canada. Let's not go crazy here.
Bret Hart takes offense.
But Jinder, I think Jinder's been to India once, maybe, or twice, whatever how many times they've gone to India.
Let's get our facts straight. A, the Jinder Mahal experience, this whole experiment has failed.
No, it's been a roller coaster.
We can all agree.
A roller coaster
has
not
failed epically on every possible level of failure. From the Neville level to the A-double level, this has failed in such a huge fashion. I am so mad that I at one point thought this wouldn't be a bad idea. B, people look back at JBL's long-ass title run and think it was a good thing. I'm sorry, but when we were living it in real time,
it was
he had
terrible.
One of the shittiest title reigns in the history of WWE, and we glorify it in hindsight.
True fact, I stopped watching mainly because he became champion, and he never lost. That's when I stopped watching.
He was so boring.
Yep.
And they didn't surround him with talent. They gave him Orlando Jordan and the Bashams, and they made the Bashams shitty, and Orlando Jordan had never been good a day in his life. He was horrible.
Yeah.
And the Singh brothers, I mean, they're talented, but they're so small that they're simply there to do flippy shit once they get hit. That's all they're there for. In the meantime, all you gotta do is take the belt off them.
Mm-hmm.
And the main event scene is burst. We've never seen Shinsuke be boring since he's been in WWE. Suddenly, I don't want to watch Shinsuke's matches because he's involved in this feud. I haven't want to watch a Randy Orton match since he was dealing with Luke Harper back in February. This is getting so bad. The only thing I really liked was, you know, since a lot of people have no memory, the Jinder and Rusev reunion, because they used to be a tag team, and I liked how Jinder kind of sucked up to him, and Rusev's like, no, I'm coming for your belt. If that's where the storyline ends, and we get past the Shinsuke stuff, and it ends with Rusev versus Jinder, A, the crowd will not react.
No.
But B, it may be the one chance to get the belt off of Jinder and give Rusev a chance. Please, for the love of God, make Rusev world champion.
So
there's
the Rusev,
not many more deserving people.
That's true. So the Rusev rumor is definitely false. He did not ask for his release.
Yeah, that appears.
Read that.
Someone said it.
Yeah,
I thought it was you, Kent, or it was Carrie, maybe.
I read it over the I think like Thursday or Friday of last week. There was a rumor out there that Rusev and Lana had asked for their release.
I find that hard to believe because, I mean, Lana's got to be raking it in.
Yeah, Lana's got WWE divas. I mean,
she's got divas money. She don't have to do shit. She failed as a wrestler, so they put her back as the one thing she was great at, looking great in skimpy outfits and talking. Like, yeah, there's zero reason for her to want out. And Rusev, as poorly booked as he's been, Rusev's usually involved in feuds with decent wrestlers.
Right.
I will say that. Or bigger name wrestlers. Yes, he's usually jobbing, but he's usually involved with decent wrestlers.
It's true. John Cena likes working with him.
Yeah.
I knew you'd love that one. That's why I threw it in.
if I could physically fight John Cena, A, I'd get my ass handed to me within 15 seconds.
Oh, easily.
B, I would enjoy those 15 seconds if I just got one hit in. That's all I want is just one hit.
If you know what's funny? If you just listened to the podcast with Carrie, me, and you, if the last one we had, I think, no, it was before the last one we had, you were all about Cena being okay with him, positive and everything, and then the switch ever since he's fucked Baron Corbin.
Oh. Good times. Good times.
Da 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 da.
Let's move on, shall we?
Is there anything else left?
I don't think so. I think we're done with SmackDown, guys. What do you think?
God, yes.
All right, let's move on to our final segment of the night, and then we'll talk some Game of Thrones, guys, because I know you're excited to talk about it, and so am I. Let's first go to our segment, I'm Not Finished With You Yet, and say what we're looking forward to next week. Well, next week, I just hope to be entertained by something. Come on, WWE, give me something entertaining. Kent, how about you?
Roman, Cena.
I was going to say that, you jackass.
You can too, Russ. We can all be looking forward to that greatness.
No, I'll be honest. I'll say Bobby Roode. I'm looking forward to seeing if they can move him into more positive directions, or maybe the crowds are finally going to start reacting to him.
Oh, my real answer is hopefully Rowan and Harper coming back on my screen.
Yeah, what the hell happened to them?
They're supposedly behind the whole Breeze Dango office massacre thing that happened months ago that they overlooked after the Tully thing. So hopefully we get something with them.
Hopefully.
Or my other thing I'm looking forward to is Aiden English getting more TV time.
I think they're... He got rid of his... Once he got rid of Gotch, that was his albatross around his neck, and he finally got rid of him. I think he's starting to shine a little bit. I won't be surprised if we don't see him start moving up the ladder.
I'd be fine if he's the one that took it off of AJ. That'd be a huge rub for him. Oh,
that'd be a huge rub for him.
Absolutely. I agree with all of that, guys. So, let's talk Game of Thrones briefly. I know you all watched, and we have already mentioned it. So, what'd you guys think?
Yeah, so real quick, spoilers, people, because if you don't want to listen to Game of Thrones now, get off the podcast.
Yes.
All right, we're done.
Just
get off. Go look at porn. Get off. And then come back.
Then come back. Yeah. Right. It should be by the time we'll be done. All right. Who wants to start?
Was I the only one during that whole thing with Sam, Bran, Daenerys, and Jon going, no, no, no. Especially as they were announcing who Jon actually was. Eric and I were actually doing a no chant.
Oh, I knew it was coming. Just like Jon Snow would be coming in Daenerys. I knew that was coming.
I was kind of cheering it on, quite frankly.
Ew.
Well, let's see. No, no, no. I'm not going to get into grumpy mode.
Well, I was going to say, you, if I remember correctly, were very much against Jon Snow being Aegon Targaryen, and you were like, nope, it's a MacGuffin, or not a MacGuffin, it was a, I'm sorry, it's a red herring. And now you're definitely proven wrong, because it's definitely not a red herring anymore.
Russ, none of that happened. You're talking about the wrong person.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You really are. That wasn't me. I never once stated that. I would have said red herring, though, had we had that conversation, yes.
Yes.
Or I wasn't serious and maybe said it while having some booze. That's also entirely possible, but no, I would have never meant that. That was a given. Long, long ago. I did hold out hope that Mira was also a baby in that room. That was not the case. I will say this. The fast travel this season has been stupid. The writing has been piss poor this season. Yes, they've given us plenty of exciting things, and they've given us nonstop action in our season. This has been a fun-as-fuck season. That doesn't mean it was a well-written season. There was a lot of intricacies that season 1 through 6 would not have ignored. This season, there's like, the fans could just make assumptions about what just happened, and we'll move on. So they took from 10 seasons and narrowed it down to 10 episodes down to 7, we could have used another episode or two to fill in some of the blanks and added a little more tension, a little more drama, and they really dropped the ball in that regard. And I know a lot of people don't agree with me. There's like, oh, I like it because everything was really fun and exciting. I get it. I get it. We all had fun during the season. Does not mean it was well written. That's all I'm saying. We can have fun with something that's poorly written. Carrie, you can vouch. You like Fast and the Furious. You can 100% get behind poorly written shit that's really entertaining to you. So
wrestling.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Horror movies.
Poorly written shit, but yet we're entertained.
Right. But people get mad at me when I say it's poorly written. I'm like, get the fuck off your high horse.
No,
it was. Accept the fact.
It's definitely not as good as it was the first, like, intricacies. They treated
That's all I'm saying, yeah.
Right, they treated it more like a television show. Before, they weren't treating. They were treating it like a book adaptation the best they could. Now they're treating it like a television show. They're clearing loose. And it makes sense. We're coming to the end. They have to start cleaning things up. But that didn't have to give us just 7 episodes season. They could have easily given us 12 or 13 episodes. And that would have solved a few of the things. There were a lot of plot holes in this one. Especially in the last 2 episodes.
I think Baron fell into one of those and got buried. I think.
Yes, a big one. Do you want? I found this very curious. I read this morning. You know why Bronn and Cersei aren't ever shown together?
Because he pops a boner.
No, they used to date in 2012, and it did not end well. And now they cannot be in the same scene together. Like they hate each other. The character, the people.
He has a great singing voice, though.
He does.
Like, he actually sings professionally, Jerome Flynn.
Really? Hmm. Now, to go back to what I was saying, the plot hole part. Okay, first of all, when they surrounded John and his group, the dead, if only the White Walkers had a weapon that they could use to toss at them, accurately, from a distance.
Goldberg could have helped them out, perhaps.
Perhaps. But apparently
Roman
they were...
Roman Reigns could have helped, or Edge could have helped.
Yes. Yes. All of them definitely could have helped. I mean, if only they had that weapon at their disposal. But they saved it for a dragon that they had no idea was coming at that point. So...
But wait, Russ. To counter that, if only the Hound would have used that hammer to keep banging on the water... So that there was no ice formed.
Yes.
And let's not forget that the Night King's like, you know, guys, I have a really good feeling that we're going to get attacked by a dragon today. So let's bring our whole set of chains. Because we don't have it normally, but today feels like a special
day. Today feels like, that's the other thing, yeah. Today feels like a big chain day, guys. Let's carry the big chain. That was the other thing I was like.
They are representing John Cena's chain gang 100%.
I can forgive everything we talked about except the chains. Because there's 2 reasons I can't accept this. A, where the hell did they come from? Where do the dead just have a
they
huge bunch of chains?
They never showed where they came from. They just randomly had them.
Right.
And it was like miles of chain.
And the whole reason why the walkers wouldn't go after the group was because they were afraid of falling in the water because they couldn't get back out. So who brought the chains down to get onto the dragon?
Ones that weren't afraid.
Oh, okay.
Duh.
Huge plot holes.
Fuck ups.
And I almost thought there was another one in the finale too, honestly. When Cersei saw the walker. First of all, great acting on her part. She looked... I don't know what people are saying. She didn't look terrified at all. She looked piss terrified, didn't she?
Yes. Ignore the internet.
Yeah, the internet was stupid. Because they were like, oh, she doesn't react at all. I was like, are you... Did we watch the same thing? She reacted, like, horrified.
I want to say that I feel that they missed the boat on one storyline. And that is, I would have... It's because they only have 6 episodes or maybe 7 episodes. Depends on who you hear.
Right.
6 or 7 episodes remaining. If there was more time, I would have much rather seen Sansa turn dark side and have offed Arya and kept Littlefinger alive and seen like how that could have gone. Because, you know, Jon has no real claim to the North anymore. I mean, Aegon has no real claim to the North anymore. And then I wonder, does Daenerys... Like, I hope that Jon Gon is...
Jon Gon.
...nagging the rest of the final season is like, hey, you gonna bend the knee? Hey, you gonna bend the knee? Hey, you gonna bend the knee? I want that to go on forever until she bends the fucking knee, because he has a claim, which... Can we just stop this bullshit about claims? Who has the rightful claim? Is it the person that overthrew it? In that case, then it's Gendry that has the rightful claim. Which seems like he has the rightful claim. It's not a Targaryen. A Targaryen was overthrown. If you get overthrown, all relatives of that claim go out the window until the overthrower gets overthrown again. So Gendry's the only rightful person if you're going by that logic thought process. And yet people won't get off their high horses about Dany having some claim. She has no claim. It's retarded. I just had to say that. And one final thought. The Ice Dragon's name really needs to be Jericho, because he broke the walls
down. He did break the walls down. That was great. Did you see there's a... They're really pushing the Bran is the Night King?
I fully believe that theory.
Okay, it does make a lot of sense then why they didn't attack. That does bring that into it. So I'm holding a hope that he is. It makes a lot of sense. Did you notice when they were entering the wall? There's a picture. It looks exactly like the Stark Wolf as the dead from a high picture up.
It makes. Because this was supposed to be his Bran's season to shine. Instead, he's like, hey, Sam. Oh, you're telling me information? Let me go double check my sources because right. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't remotely interested in what my dad did in that tower. I just kind of snooped, saw it like 3 seconds, like, I'm good. I didn't really want to look any further into it. Despite having this great power, I wasn't interested in my fucking Ancestry.com heritage. Like, Bran was fucking stupid as hell, so good. Make him the Night King. I'm happy.
I don't know if he was stupid as hell, but... I mean, he's definitely the one who orchestrated the whole thing between Sansa and Arya. He told them. He had to have. He had to have been like, yeah, Littlefinger's playing the fuck out of you two.
He's just, like, slow to the fucking draw, though. Of any person, he should not be slow to the draw. Sam should not be schooling him.
It's true. I felt bad for... Who's Sam's girlfriend's name? I can't remember the girl.
Gilly.
I felt bad for Gilly. Nothing like Sam completely destroying her. Like, okay, this is garbage. I don't care about your stupid stuff. And then when he walks in and sees Bran, pulls that nugget of information, he basically shoved in her face to say, fuck you.
Have you ever seen her without... Like, in normal, like... Normal world stuff? Like,
no.
She's a very beautiful girl. Gilly is.
I bet. I believe it. She does seem she's attractive in this. So,
yeah.
Carrie, what are your thoughts?
Wait, let's point two.
On what, Gilly?
Game of Thrones.
She's,
period.
She's pretty. I was happy with the season. I do agree with you guys. There were some, you know, plot holes and stuff. I actually made a joke to Eric as we were walking to the metro today. This morning, there were crows standing on top of the one of the. Power lines that we walk under to go towards the train, and I'm like, do you guys teleport? I asked them. They did not answer. But, I mean, crows now in Game of Thrones teleport. But in any case, Littlefinger dying shocked me. I did not see that coming. I mean, I saw it coming, but I didn't see it coming as it unfolded. Again, as I said, we were not for the nephew and aunt having relations. Although it was nice to see, you know, Kit Harington's bare ass. I'm always good seeing his bare ass.
What do you guys think about that whole thing with Tyrion at the end?
That was creepy. Everybody on the internet is like, is he into her?
Well, he was. I think he's always been into her. Because, like, last season he was, like, you know, blowing her up almost. But I don't think he was. I think
she's not an inflatable doll.
But like, remember at the end of last season, he was basically. It felt to me like he was in love with her, but I also felt like he knew that there was never a chance between them. So it was really weird.
He was very much like Jorah.
Sir, yeah. You mean Sir Friendzone?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Tyrion hasn't had a piece of ass since Shay.
Yeah.
That goes back a while. And he never would have had to bend the knee to get down to business.
No, he wouldn't have. He's right where he needs to be.
Yeah, face full of stuff.
Indeed. All right, so Game of Thrones, what would we rather see go away? Wrestling, what would we rather have? Wrestling be a 7 week, 7 episodes a year, or a Game of Thrones a week, or are we good with what we got?
I want more Game of Thrones, less wrestling, but that's just, maybe that's just me.
I think that if it was the reverse, we'd be
bitching about Game of Thrones,
all over Game of Thrones big time, and then we'd be like, well, that feud felt underwhelming. So I guess keep it the way it is, because it's just more fun to bitch about wrestling. Also, I thought Jaime was going to get got. Just throwing that out there. I really thought like they were going to cut off two of my favorite characters. And like, Jaime and Littlefinger have been my top six the whole franchise. I'm like, motherfucker, I really am going to need some drinks after this. I was about ready to be pissed.
Yeah, Jaime can't die until the end. Or at all.
He could have. I mean, shit, the rumor was that Cersei and Jaime were both going to die by the end of the season. And now...
Oh, I think they're going to die at the end of next season.
So many different things out.
Yeah, well, I think they're deaf. One of them, or if not both of them, are dying. Cersei's like foregone. Isn't it like foregone that Cersei's going to die?
Yeah, by a little brother.
Right. Which could be her baby, her brother, either of her brothers.
Yeah, she could die during... Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wait, is she even pregnant, though?
I think she is. Not. The way she played that with Tyrion, I think she is.
I thought she played Tyrion.
She played Tyrion, but I think she played him. Why would she play Jaime and Tyrion in the same story?
Because Jaime doesn't want to hear her shit anymore. Jaime's like, we got to do this. And she's like, no, no, no. I got my evil ways of doing things, which I'm 100% support. Everybody that's like, oh, I can't believe Cersei wouldn't agree to a truce. Are you shitting me? You have this bitch with two fucking dragons, and you have this whole fucking army of crazy-ass Dothrakis and Unsullied, and like, we'll have a truce till we kill these guys, and then we're going to immediately come back and kill you. And Cersei's the stupid one for not wanting to agree to it? No, she is 100% legit on that side. Why would you give up power of position?
I agree with you. She has no... But she has no win anyway. I mean, Jamie's already basically said it. This was their chance to parlay out of it a little bit, I think.
She was never going to make, it out of there alive.
She's not, no. Well,
so
that's not true. If she had helped them, she might have. I don't know, it's a dick move. Lying to them?
How?
Lying to them, that's a dick move.
Oh, right, but yet we're... Everybody online's criticizing John for not lying. So which is it?
Why? No, I'm totally agreeing with John. Did the right thing. John shouldn't have lied. That goes against John's character to lie. It doesn't go against Cersei's character to lie.
He's also mildly retarded. Let's not forget, Jon Snow knows nothing.
But my point, it's true, he doesn't know anything. But my point is, I'd rather I've always been on the side of the righteous characters. So. Jon Snow lying would have been a tarnish on him. I like Jon Snow the way he is.
Are you trying to pull like a Jules from Pulp Fiction right now? The whole righteous thing?
No. I like righteous characters. And Cersei, I love Cersei for being evil, so don't get me wrong. I love that she turned on everybody. But it's a dick move.
So you like John Cena then, because he's really self-righteous.
No. That's a big difference. Yeah. Big difference.
At first, I was wondering... if I was watching FX, because all I saw was man ass and no tits.
I know, right?
Are we sure that wasn't on FX?
Yeah, no, it was. It wasn't. It was on HBO.
That's so weird. And then I read some stupid bitch on Nerdist, like, oh, it's not fair. We don't see enough dick. I'm sorry. When was the last time I saw vagina on Game of Thrones? I mean, seriously, when was the last time I saw it? Can anybody answer that one? I've seen a lot more dick on Game of Thrones than I've seen vagina. We can all agree that statement.
Yeah, I think it's man ass to woman's boobs and man dick to woman vagina.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fuck, man. People are dumb. Dumb bitches are dumb. I just have to say that.
All right. I agree.
Fair enough. Anything else, guys? I think we pretty much covered everything.
More vagina.
More Jon Snow man ass. I meant Daenerys.
Please, more man ass.
I'm good with that.
Tyrion ass.
I'm good with that.
And Davos ass.
You know what else I'm good with, guys? I think it's time to play Guess the Wrestler.
I have some word associations if you guys want to do those quick, too.
I'm good with that. Kat, how about you?
Yeah.
They'll be fast. All right. So, word associations. If you don't know what we're doing real quick, I have wrestlers that are associated with the words I say, and I want to see if these two can guess them by the end. It's just a little fun game we like to play. Are you guys ready? How did we do it last time? I forgot already. It's been 2 weeks. Do you both guess?
Basically, I got it right on the first guess every time.
Yes, you did. I tried avoiding that this time, but we'll see. All right, ready?
Ready.
Okay, so the first word association is tag team.
Mabel.
But funny that you mentioned Mabel.
When he was
Mabel.
On Men on a Mission, they came out to Whoomp There It Is at one point.
Nope. Although I was thinking Viscera earlier, so that's kind of funny that you went that route.
Please, I hope this ends up as a page reference in some way.
Unfortunately not.
An Uso.
No. All right. 7-time tag champions. See if that helps. Nobody?
Christian?
Matt Hardy?
Carrie with Christian! Ding, ding, ding. Last guess right here was, at last, he's on his own. That was my last word association for him.
It's funny. It's funny you actually came up with that one, because I just found out that he's going to be a guest at MCW, Maryland Championship Wrestling's Tribute to Legends. Eric and I are seriously thinking going up so we can see Christian.
It's not bad. Christian's awesome. All right, ready?
Yep.
Purple.
Yes. What?
Purple.
I'm not choosing Mabel again.
That's, again, I told you. I kept on thinking of Viscera every single time.
Oh, God. Purple. Val Venus.
Carrie?
Velveteen Dream?
No. Kent is right. It is Val Venus. Here's your second and third clues. Second was member. And the third was Venus Envy. Good old Venus Envy. All right. Masked.
Sin Cara.
Okay. Kent?
Cody Rhodes.
Okay. Neither are correct. Second, Lucha.
Rey Mysterio.
Mick Foley.
Carrie getting her second one with Rey Mysterio. Kent, you would have got it with this one. Ready? Booyaka Booyaka 619.
I will never forget the one time I was at wrestling and there was like two or three kids behind me, and when Ray came out, they would not shut the fuck up. They just kept going 619, 619 for like 8 minutes straight. And I was like, well, I'm glad I don't have children, because right now I just hate all kids.
My favorite whole thing about it was when we first watched him come out for that entrance at WrestleMania. But, like, everything afterwards, whenever we had a conversation, you'd end it with Booyaka Booyaka 619.
Oh, it was an eventful evening.
All right, last one. Ready? 2-time WWF champion.
Macho Man Randall Savage.
Okay, Carrie?
I'm in agreement with Kent.
Okay, no. Second word. Psycho.
Really?
Yep.
More importantly, I want to guess the third clue after Carrie.
Okay, Carrie, guess. Go ahead and guess, because I think Kent knows it.
I actually don't know, so go ahead, Kent.
What do you think it is, that third one?
Is it something to do with leg snapping in WCW?
Most cringeworthy leg injury caught on tape. Yes.
Ah, oh, Sid. God, that really was the single most painful injury I've ever seen in wrestling.
I never want to see it again. I saw it twice, and I'm like, I can't watch that again. I cannot. All right, that was it. That was my weird association of the week.
Well done, Russ.
All right, let's move on to Guess the Wrestler then. Just a background on the rules for Guess the Wrestler. One of us this week, I believe it's Russ,
yep,
is going to pick a wrestler, and it was up to Kent and I to ask him 9 questions, and then we get 2 guesses to figure out who his wrestler is. Russ, do you have your wrestler?
I do.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to say that it is a male and past performer.
What era?
Mostly Attitude. Attitude was his like big reign, but he was before it and a little bit after it too.
Was this person a predominant WWF wrestler?
That is a good question. Let me look. I'd say he spent about half and half WCW and WWE / WWF.
Is he more known for tag team wrestling or singles wrestling?
Another tough one with him. Let me take a look down here. Again, a good split, but I would say he was definitely a tag. He's won tag championships. And he's won regular titles, too, by himself. Both.
Okay. Was he ever part or a member of any big group's stables?
Yes.
Yes, he was.
Carrie?
Hall of Famer?
No.
Really?
I could be wrong, though. Let me... I don't see anything.
Oh, boy. Well, that would change everything that I had going for me.
I'm looking real quick just to make sure I'm not crazy, but I don't think so. At least not yet. Nope.
Okay. Hair color.
Black?
Any catchphrases we should know about?
I don't know about catchphrases, but he did have a gimmick that we would all recognize, or at least Kent and I would. If Kent's talking, I can't hear him.
Did he ever win a heavyweight championship either in WCW or WWF?
I want
like the top belt.
Yep, I understand what you're going for. Or in WWE, what? Say it again.
WWF, WWE, WCW, whatever it was at the time.
Okay. No, he's never won the main title for any of those.
Is he still alive?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Was that it?
I think that was 9.
I do too. Huh. I had one whole guess and you ruined it. So
well, who do you think it was? Yeah, I won't count it as your guess.
No, it can't be Farouk because Farouk won the championship.
Oh, okay. Right, right.
But he had a lot of tag team and single success, so he fit the mold. Plus, he was in Ministry. So then I have to think about Ministry. Because once again, I'm holding on to the hope that's the Ministry, despite it probably not being the Ministry. I can't remember if Bradshaw is in the Hall of Fame, but he won the World Championship. So basically, the Ministry's out.
Sorry. As much as I wanted to be Viscera.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it can't be Viscera either.
Yeah, nope.
Black hair. The fact that he spent half his time as tag team and half as singles is really...
It's tough. I know, and it's tough because it's very close to half and half with him. Very close. I mean, we would probably go with him as more of a singles competitor, but you can also see him as a tag.
Sure, that makes sense. I mean, that's why Farouk and Bradshaw made so much sense to me. Huh. Carrie, you got anything over there going on?
No, I'm really drawing blanks here.
All right, so let's go give you something that might help a little bit. I'm trying to think how I could help you out with this.
Could you tell us, like, body style? Like, was he tall? Was he
was short, muscular, and he has a very distinguishing facial hair. The way he wears it.
That makes a lot of sense. But I still got nothing.
Okay. He came over with a big group of guys that were really important to WWF back then in 2000. That's when he came to WWF.
Right. So, I mean,
a big group of guys. I'd say four of them. Some might say they're radical.
Yeah. I was onto that, but Saturn didn't have black hair, did he?
Yes. Yes, he did.
He had...
His picture I'm seeing right now, he has black hair. It's his picture on Wikipedia.
The fuck? I'm looking him up.
Yep, Perry Saturn. And that's the problem. Listen to this. This is how many tag team championships he's had. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tag team championships. And... Oh, no, 8 tag team championships, sorry. And then he had other championships. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So he's had 7 regular championships. So it's really hard to say he wasn't both.
I didn't ask about ECW because that's where he had the vast majority of his success in a lot of ways.
Yes, yes. And if you had asked Extreme Champion, if you'd done ECW, I would have given you you probably would have made it figured it out.
I don't understand. I'm looking at his picture, and it makes no sense to me.
What? His black hair on Wikipedia?
Yeah. He was bald. He shaved his head.
I know, but it's black hair. You asked what color. I mean, I looked at the picture.
Very frustrating. Good job.
Yes, definitely good job. I was definitely stumped. Well, there you have it, listeners. Another... exciting week of Are You Not Kentertained has come to a close. Kent, I do believe an important date is coming up, so I'm sure you have some announcements regarding that important date.
Yeah, I'm getting drunk on Saturday. It's also 9 deuce on Saturday, so we'll be rolling out some new logos. There'll be some changes on the website. Hopefully a new feature or two. We still got the Game of Thrones finale blog and podcast. I'm trying to think. By the second, I think we should have the Tales from the Hood blog as well as another horror movie related blog. I'm probably forgetting something. And then next week, already is American Horror Story fucking start. So, no rest for me. Fuck you, American Horror Story. Fuck you.
Well, everyone, go and check those things out and check out all the new stuff on the website on Saturday, 9 Deuce. And with that, from Kent, Russ, and myself, we wish you guys a good night, and we will talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.
Game of Thrones is the best television show ever.
More penis.
More man ass.
Just watch FX.